So this is John Costa on Spotlight on Arts with my colleague Rob Watson. Rob, how are you this week?
I'm very well, thank you, John. How are you?
All right, yeah. No sunshine this week, looking out the window.
Was it sunny yesterday?
Yeah.
For about
20 minutes.
Yeah, Monday it was sunny and I was stuck in with in a meeting in the afternoon, so I really do need to get out and get that, as soon as it's sunny, get out and go for a walk.
Absolutely. I raked my garden yesterday, which isn't a euphemism for anything else other than I actually raked my garden, just to get ready for starting to grow some stuff and make me go outside in the summer. So listening to podcasts, which brings us nicely to the podcast we're doing this week with our special guest who's come in all the way from Poland. She's just arrived from Poland, Stansted Airport. I'm only teasing you, make you feel comfortable. I'm with Cassia. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. So
I'm glad to be here.
Formally introduce yourself then.
So my name is Kasia. Obviously, I'm from Poland, all the way from like Luton Airport this time.
Luton Airport this time, yeah.
To be honest, just been living in UK for past 10 years. So it's a big part of like my journey, my art journey, and obviously my personal journey. And it, like, I think it's the most kind of like beneficial like period in my life. A lot of like self-development, a lot of like changes and everything. So, yeah.
Now, it's interesting. The reason I wanted to invite you on, and I was talking to Rob as well about, you know, some of our first guests, and I've always been impressed, one, by your level of creativity, you know, but also when you are creative. You know, now, obviously, you know, we've met in a coffee shop. I'm not going to go into any details, but we've met in a coffee shop. And I'm a great believer in saying to people, you know, not what do you do, but, you know, what are you interested in? Mm-hmm. And I think your interest, and again, we've got a mutual friend in Marta, so I found out about her love of photography, and she did a photography exhibition with me a couple of years ago now. And we got chatting away, and quite clearly you were creative, you know, all the things that you wanted to do. And that's what it's about, isn't it? It's not about sometimes the work that you do. It's about what you do outside work, or what you bring to work.
And I think even like you mentioned about work, like we could even get creative at what we do on a daily basis. Like for me, like art is just a byproduct of creativity. Obviously, like whatever we can do, if we like put that energy and put that passion in, that become a creative like way of obviously living and working. So as you say, we're not defined by the work we do, however like we can bring that element of creativity in everything we do.
So when was the first time you remember being creative? You look back, is it, you know, what would it be? Would it be at school? Would it be a teenager? Would it be you suddenly discovered this new love of something?
I think when I was like, when I was a child, I can't like clearly remember like what age I was at that point. But I remember like I used to live on a countryside. So obviously like I went for a walk like on the fields. I picked some flowers. I tried them. I make some like bouquets and everything. And that's for me like that was the first form of creativity. And obviously that evolved later on in like a different forms. That was writing, obviously dancing, like trying to sing, but I can't do it. So I just gave up on this one. So obviously, and drawing, like I was trying to like find a perfect medium for myself, exploring like a different ways to express obviously the creativity in me.
And tell us a little bit about education in Poland. Is creativity encouraged?
I think it is, because I remember like back in a primary school, we always had like, I think that was called like a technician's like lessons. And obviously we were going through a different like things. So we were painting, we were crochet, like, and that was including like boys. It wasn't like a kind of like a gender, you know, separation, like boys do like those things and girls do the other things. We all collectively like create like something like really meaningful. And obviously like, I think creativity was a big part of my education and my very age stage of education, probably like I would say primary school, because then obviously like when you're going like further up, you are more selective which way you're going to go. So you're going to pick an art school, or you're going to pick like a more general like sort of like education. But on a very early stage, I think art was very present, and obviously like the creativity.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that's really, you know, quite prevalent here, I think, in primary schools. You know, primary school teachers are quite well known for doing quite creative things.
Yeah.
And then secondary school as well. But then you kind of get to pick certain subjects. Mm-hmm. So you only continue those if you're interested in art or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then by the time you get older, it's almost seen as something to be ridiculed, isn't it, Rob? I mean, you know, sort of people doing anything that's remotely creative. And also you've seen, you know, many governments now kind of create, sort of attack creativity and what it is. And is there any value in that from a degree perspective?
Well, I think the kind of phrase creativity has become a catch-all for...
A bit like heritage, I guess.
Yeah, you know, for everything. It's like kind of, I always regard engineering, programming, you know, when you're in that creative flow state and your ideas are flowing, is that what we mean by creativity? I think when people think about art, that's a slightly different type of creativity and expression and representation and image making, those kind of things. That's a different form of creative practice. So it's kind of, we've got to be, you know, sometimes we've got to be careful not to conflate different forms of creativity and what that means.
So Cassia, when Anton was here, who I know that you've, you've spoken to, was here the other week, I remember getting him to tell the story that he told me once before at the bike park about his next door neighbour and how supportive he was. And so really, is there someone that you can think of outside your family, if it doesn't have to be within your family, but who really kind of took an interest in your creativity and kind of, you know, brought you in extra stuff like materials or things to read or something to watch, that you can think back and think, actually, yeah, that person really had a positive impact on me?
I think, like, I would pick Marta, if I have to be honest with you, because she was that element of encouragement, like, in, obviously, like, in the last past year, like, she was the one who gave me for a Christmas a set of, like, mini paints, and obviously she was, like, that little push, like, you know, you have to finish that cop, you promised that person, and, like, she was just always behind my back, and obviously, like, She wasn't like mentoring, however, like, she was there to remind me about, like, to continue to do the things even if they're not perfect. So
yeah, so it's almost like not so much finishing them, but just being happy that you've gotten to a certain point, and then as long as you're evolving all the time. I mean, I consider myself, and I think I always have since school, being terrible at drawing. Okay. Now, I can remember doing like A-level art and, you know, bowls of fruit and all that sort of stuff, which I'm sure everyone's laughing at now, but draw a bowl of fruit, you know, oranges and apples and bananas. But I've always been terrible at drawing. So I've always done boxes. And then, you know, I remember Tina saying, well, let's get a sketchbook each. And just, I mean, she's great at drawing, I think, landscapes and that. So just started drawing and sketching little people. And I think I kind of set out to have in my sketchbook, if I was to take a photograph of something that was heritage related, could I do a quick sketch to refer to? And so I've kind of set myself a specific task to do that. And I'm still dreadful at drawing, don't get me wrong. It's just the fact that because I've got a reason now, I feel a little bit happier to continue. So how do you inspire yourself? So Marta's pushing you to do things, getting your paints, but how do you then complete something?
Sometimes it's tough, I'm not going to lie, because like what I tend to do, I tend to start like a few different pieces because I've got so many ideas in my head and I just don't want to lose that like flow. So I'm currently doing like 5 different pieces in the same time. They all started. And obviously that's really hard thing to do to continue because it's not about the excuses, but sometimes you're just feeling like, I don't know how to go about this anymore, like which way I should go, like... And it's, I think we just, as you say, like we need to remind ourselves, like it doesn't has to be perfect. It's just like, I think that feeling of completion, it's a really good feeling. Like I remember when I finished the wall in my Starbucks, it was like, wow, I actually did it.
I was going to say to that about you, because that was really something that's kind of public facing and right out there, because all the customers that know that you're creative are suddenly like, oh, Cassia's drawing on the wall. And of course, once you've started it, like it has to end at some point. That put yourself under quite a lot of pressure doing that, I felt.
I was doing that after hours, obviously, like, and I was doing that.
Yes, if Starbucks senior management's listening, it wasn't during work hours.
No, it was after work hours. So, like, I did have to push myself that time. And obviously, Marta was there reminding me, like, oh, hey, you've got a wall to finish. Like, it was halfway through. And obviously, like, I just, the feeling, like, I finally, like, had once I put like the last lines, it was just incredible. Like the feeling I finished that piece, but then it's that emptiness following like, oh, it's done. What's going to be next?
So will you be doing anything else in the shop?
I am. I've got a few walls, to be honest. Okay. Like
yeah, you can crack on with.
I can crack on. Yeah, one is in my bedroom. That's like
okay. Yeah, I think it's also about when someone puts you under pressure to do something, which they're like, "Well, I'm confident for you to do that for me," and you're like, "Ah, you're like their child's bedroom or something like that." Suddenly, you put yourself in a very kind of different place and stuff. So, do people ask you to do bits for them?
They do. That was like before. It was a form of like a sort of joke, like, "Oh, would you like come and do my wall? You can get crazy on it." I was like, "Yeah, why not?" I think I'm gonna try it. Like from, I know what I'm gonna do, but obviously, I'm gonna start from my own, and obviously, I'm gonna move forward from that point.
Brilliant. Now, sticking with the coffee shop for a moment, you were you started a sketch club, didn't you, on a Thursday?
Yeah.
Where did the original idea come from? Was it because you had it was quiet on a Thursday and it'd be a good thing to use as the shop, as the manager, or you like, well, actually, I've got an opportunity to combine it with my creativity here and get the staff interest? Because I just felt as if like all your team got really behind it as a way of just talking about it, and you made some flyers as well, and it just made it a little bit more interesting.
That was a lot of factors like coming into like this idea, and obviously the main one was like this feeling of forming a community. For me, that was like that was really driving that art club, and obviously the idea behind, and obviously like the fact the shop was quiet so we could utilize like a shop floor. And I think the other thing, like I've started noticing a lot of our customers are very like creative. They come in doing some drawings, sketching, like they come in do a crochet. And I didn't want to stick to like one singular form of that. Like we could explore different forms of obviously like art creativity, like speaking like so. But I think the main thing that was a community, I was missing that community ingredient in like in obviously our like coffee shop neighborhood.
I like the fact that you had the cups as well, like the different size cups on the side, so you know whenever you go to any other store like that the cups are there, but these were all like different designs, and I just remember this really cool Mandalorian style helmet and stuff that someone must have drawn. And you just think that's what it's about. It's a reason to have a conversation with someone beyond just, you know, what they've ordered and stuff like that. And you start to learn a little bit more. Then they bring something in to show you. It gets a little bit more interesting.
And that's really, like, I think that's really cool, because those cups like become not only an advertisement, obviously, like, but they ignite that conversations about like, obviously, oh, I'm a Star Wars fan too. Like, and you're just feeling like connected with people on a different levels. And I remember like people who came to draw on a corpse, they draw something they're interested in. So that was a different like, obviously like some frames from like movies, like movie characters. That was really interesting to see what people are into it. And they put that on a cup.
So what do you do that inspires you? I mean, when you're not being creative or inspiring others, I mean, what do you do? Do you watch things? Are you like an avid reader? Do you listen to, you know, well-crafted professional podcasts like this one? Do you like, you know, how do you get your inspiration on?
I think for me, like, other people are the biggest inspiration, the ways they try to pursue like their creative like life, and obviously like their passions. It doesn't have to be necessarily art. I like to look at the people from different fields and the consistency, obviously, of the work. And, like, I do understand we're just humans and we've got a bad days. And, obviously, sometimes we are feeling like, oh, it might not work in the long run. However, like, it's good to overcome those moments. And, obviously, I always look at the other people, not for the sake of, like, just trying to get an idea how I'm going to move, but for that, obviously, extra motivation.
So do you have, like, a space at home that you use as a creative space, like a wall or a table or an area that you use that you kind of go to, your go-to space?
There is a table, and obviously like all my arts, like obviously my paints, my pens, pencils, everything is just there. And it's not in a like very organized way. It's in the way I can pick something and then start doing. So obviously all this like not finished pieces are on this table to remind me, like, there is something to do. And obviously, whenever I feel that flow, I'm just sitting down and just continue, like, and obviously, like, I can get immersed in that for, like, a few hours.
Yeah, so, just lose a few
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, just lose a few hours. So I do have to have that time, obviously, like, and that space in my head. I know, like, I'm not going, let's say, to work, or, like, I don't have any meeting later on, so I can sit down and continue.
Yeah, I think that for me would be one of the key things, talking to lots of people over the years about being creative, is that when they have a dual use space, mm-hmm. it's very difficult to then set that space up to be creative. Whereas when you've got somewhere you can just go and it's already there and it's mm-hmm. all, you've not got to get anything out, and you can just let it flow, mm-hmm. is a much better way, better way of doing mm-hmm. it. So you're listening to the Spotlight on Art show with John Costa and my colleague Rob Watson, and our very special guest, all the way from Poland, Kasia. Now, Kasia, I've got quite a few friends that are Ukrainian, and the wonderful thing about hanging out with those guys, and I'm always getting invited to all of their events and stuff, to the point where actually I'm getting quite an expert on Ukrainian food. But what I like about those guys was when they came to me the very first time I met them, one particular group in particular, we were talking about the textiles festival, and we managed to get them a space in the shop. And I said about, you know, doing a display about Ukraine, and they were really excited. And they said, well, what do you want us to do? And I said, well, you know, everything you see on the TV, all to do with the war, yeah, do the complete opposite of that, and maybe show people, you know, what it is you're fighting for, you know, what you're defending and stuff. Mm-hmm. And of course, their creativity that came out was this amazing, like, you know, fabrics, headdresses, the food, the history, everything to do with that kind of cultural stuff. And it really made me think about, you know, talking to Rob as well about, you know, Rob's from Liverpool, I'm from London. Can you remember doing something at school that was related to arts, creativity, fabrics? You know, you've mentioned crochet and mm-hmm. sketching, that was East London related for me or Liverpool related for Rob? And I couldn't really think of anything, to be honest. Whereas these Ukrainian guys, it was like, you know, gender neutral, mm-hmm. just making cultural items. Is mm-hmm. it the same in Poland? Because you've already mentioned sort of being there and boys doing it as yeah. well and stuff.
I think it's very, very similar. Like, we obviously, like, where I come from, it's like 60 miles from Ukrainian border. So, you know, when you cross the border, obviously you see the difference. However, like, I think in terms of, like, obviously mentality and, like, this culture, like, ingredient, we are very similar, very, like, alike. So I would say, like, yeah, I would agree with this.
Yeah. So things like fabrics mm-hmm. and sort of, you know, national mm-hmm. dress. I mean, there's some amazing yeah. photos of me dressed up in Ukrainian honestly. National dress. But you know.
I think this is something I would like to incorporate in my artwork, like, bring this, like, culture element to it. Like, this is, like, a part of my identity, like, so I think in a future I will incorporate that more often. Hmm.
So what's your mm-hmm. what's your aspiration? Is it your own space? Would you like to be a full-time creative, or for you is it something that will fill in between when you're working and when you're sleeping, that you're then creative?
I think that's really interesting, because, like, I always admire people who knew from the beginning, oh, I'm going to be an artist, like, this is, like, how I'm going to spend the rest of my life. But on the other hand, like, my journey was filled with a different, like, changes. And obviously, like, I graduated as a journalist, so...
I never knew that.
Yeah, honestly, like, but I never kind of, like, after I graduated, I never felt like this is my calling. So I went through, like, a different experiences. Obviously, like, I changed the course of, like, my career, like, a few times. And I thought, like, recently, like, the coffee shop, like, this is going to be something I'm going to stick with. But suddenly that changed too. So I think we aim to find that calling. And, like, as I say, like, I admire people who knew from the beginning. But on the other hand, I think, like, all of the experiences you've been through, they kind of direct you to that point, and obviously they're going to be very beneficial in total. Like, and I think my art will show that experience, and obviously, like, I would go more that way.
Yeah, so you're kind of drawing on those things. So mm-hmm. it's interesting, isn't it? Because I see you in a coffee shop environment, a bit like how I see Anton mm-hmm. at the bike park, which mm-hmm. is, you know, it's not defining who you are, and no. it's not a career. It's you like people. And when you like mm-hmm. people, you can do that. And it just gives you an opportunity to have a conversation with someone. And that's when you bring your mm-hmm. experience. And if someone's having a conversation with you, hopefully they feel comfortable enough and safe enough to then tell you about themselves. And suddenly it changes that dynamic, which is not about customer, you know, server relationship. It's more about they become friends, dare I say it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love people. And honestly, I could not imagine myself just being like locked in a studio just on my own. I just love being around the people. And that because people inspire me, their stories. And for me, it's a really big factor in my, like, obviously creative journey. I love being around the people. And I want to stay this way, even though if I'm going to take my, let's say, notebook and just go to a draw in a coffee shop, that's absolutely fine.
So, Rob, let's bring you in here because I kind of put you on the spot a minute ago and just said, you're from Liverpool and I'm from London and there's nothing that we did at school. I mean, were you, like, making ferries across the Mersey out of cardboard boxes, cereal boxes, or is it a bit more creative than that?
It's hard to remember, actually. I think, like yourself...
Did I just take you to a completely different place?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, kind of... No, it wasn't... You know, we had an art class, but it was, you know, draw this bowl of fruit kind of stuff, and it wasn't really, you know... Because life in Liverpool at the time, 70s and 80s, revolved around... The closure of industry, football, music, you know, the Beatles or something like that. It wasn't really much that much more space for. I mean, it's different now because they've built up a lot of cultural institutions and it's a lot of things have changed. But it wasn't really then. It wasn't the done thing of had that kind of. There are many people who went through art schools, and there's an awful lot of, you know, the Liverpool Mersey poets, the Beatles obviously were, you know, John Lennon went to art school and stuff. So there was a long tradition that came through that, but it was kind of quite distant. But it was more driven by things at that time. It was more driven by the kind of the impulse of punk, and then people making very, you know, independent statements. So maybe there was, there was things like the Blue Coat Art Gallery and stuff, which you kind of, but they always felt slightly separate and, you know, being involved. But I took up photography after my first job was in Dixon's when I was 16, and that's where I kind of discovered photography, and that became a kind of creative element. But the kind of study that I did for that ended up being really wanted to train people to go and work in the catalogue industry. And that just didn't interest me. And it was kind of maybe, you know, I could have gone to university and done an arts degree, but I kind of didn't know what that meant at the time.
It's fascinating because I think the more you find out about people, like I said, I didn't know you were a journalist, Cassie, mm-hmm. or kind of, you'd done any of that kind of training. It's just fascinating, isn't it, that we seem to look at what people do when they say, oh, I do this, or this is, well, some people are like, this is my job title. It's really important to give you a card. Always makes me laugh. Mm-hmm. And what are you hiding? I always think to myself, it's more about your journey of where you've got to and, you know, what inspires you and what didn't work and when did you change direction and when did you realise that, you know, that just wasn't you and you felt not comfortable doing that and you do something else. And I think this is really when you say to people about creativity, you know, we've got this whole thing here where because of COVID it's perfectly acceptable now to have a hobby, you know, and because we talk so much and openly about mental health and well-being, it's perfectly acceptable now to go into a shop and without having to hide you can buy an adult colouring book. But what we're doing really is we're giving people permission just to almost be childlike.
It's become therapy.
Yeah.
And so it isn't about challenge. And having art courses are belittled. And we're always told that, you know, you're never going to pay back your student loan if you do an arts degree. And yet you can change the world with an arts degree. You know, you can change the world with your arts practice. You can make a difference because it enables you to look at things in a different way. And we live in a symbolic world that isn't just about information. And so, that element of we need more people doing art courses, whether it is for a therapeutic reason or whether it is, I mean, you know, the coffee shop example is a good one because, you know, how many creative people work in coffee shops? And it's like, well, given the number of coffee shops, we should be liberating those places. But it's, you know, it becomes all about efficiency and business management, and not what you said, Cassia, about being a spark, a point for conversation. Mm-hmm. So it's like, get more art into the coffee shops rather than them all being the same. You know, you walk into every high street coffee shop and they're pretty much the same as everywhere else. And it's like, that's depressing when there's so much potential out there for people to actually add, as you say, that blank wall. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that blank wall thing, you know, it's like you see a wall and you go, wow, look at the possibilities of this wall.
That's the thing, yeah.
It's the invitation to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, I got that thing now. I look at the blank wall and wow, what could I do on that wall? This is like incredible.
Yeah, then someone says, would you like to do something here? So Cassia, for my final question to you, if you were to have an opportunity to do an exhibition, what would you do? What would be in it? What would it be about?
I think about diversity. And this is obviously my art shows diversity in a different ways. And for me, coming from a different country with a different mentality, like diversity wasn't like on a spotlight. And obviously there was a lot of stigma around different topics. And only because I spent last of my 10 years here, like I completely changed my mindset, changed the way I see the people world. Like I never had opportunity to interact with the people from so many different culture backgrounds. And that really shaped me and changed me. And obviously like helped me to become more tolerant too. Cause like, obviously like I've just been brought up with like in a totally different environment.
Can I ask you to interrupt there? Is that because that's Poland and what Poland's like, or is that because of the rural environment that you grew up in Poland, or is that a bit of both?
I think a bit of both, a bit of mixture of both. We did not have that many, let's say, people, even like speaking like about a different skin color. Like I've not seen people like this in my country. So it's sometimes it's shocking, like, and obviously like, for me, I will always kind of refer to that one thing. I remember when I came here and obviously like I've seen people with like tattoos and I was like, oh God, would I ever be so brave to get any like on myself? And then I did start, and that was really a breaking point for me. And obviously like stop judging people like for the way they look, and obviously like just to get know who they are really, like, for me, that was really like a game-changing thing, and obviously like a massive change in the way I was obviously like thinking before.
Yeah, yeah, it's fascinating.
So I think diversity, mainly.
I remember we had a mature student on communication arts when Rob and I were at De Montfort University on that program, and they were from rural Poland as well. Mm-hmm. And she said, like, I can remember, like, you know, the cart turning up once a week with everything on it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, yep. Dominika. Mm-hmm. And just that, how that informed everything that she did on the course going forward, being here in Leicester with people and their kind of attitude and, you know, what they felt they were owed and all this sort of stuff. She was almost like very grounded in that upbringing. And I think that's really important. Now, I'm going to mention tattoos because obviously Anton's got a few.
I'm like all over expanding him. My collection.
And you've got two on your hand here, aren't you? They're quite striking. So that one says...
Rare.
Love.
Rare. And this one is rare.
Rare.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us a little bit. What's the meaning behind them?
I think these are two words that really resonate with myself. Like love mainly, like, because... we should, that's for me one of the highest values, love and obviously freedom. And I think that's how I'm trying to navigate my life. And rare because of like these days, everything is so common. So when you do like even a small act of kindness sometimes becomes something really rare. So I think those two really resonates with myself. And I think they are my kind of like a compass through like...
It's interesting, isn't it? It's fascinating. I mean... Rob, you've got an interesting one on your forearm, haven't you, with the snake that's
the
you telling
Cicadius,
me?
Yeah. So that's the double snake, and it's surrounded, it's circled by a snake, which is the Ouroboros, which is eating its tail. So they're kind of mythical symbols, Hermes. There is a significance to it, but I just get vague on it. It's like kind of in the background. And it's surprising. It's one of those things where you kind of go, you wonder with a lot of tattoos where you kind of, you know, when you look back at it in a few years' time and you say, oh gosh, you know, that's dated. But this one for me, it just kind of, it keeps, you know, it doesn't feel dated. It just feels like it's kind of still got a lot to give.
Yeah. I think it's when you've got a meaning. I mean, I've only got one tattoo, and it's the Olympic rings on my arm. Not because I was involved in the Olympics, but I remember when I came out of prison about 18, I think it was 18 years ago, you know, when you just need to move on and kind of you need something. And I remember it was just before, it was 2008, and everything was starting to be about London 2012. And so I really got interested in the Olympics and the Paralympics. And it was that... the two mottos or the kind of values, which was respect, excellence and friendship, determination, inspiration, courage and equality. And I thought that is something that you could use to rebuild your life and your relationships and moving forward. And the only way you're going to believe it is if you put it on yourself. And so like I literally got my first tattoo at the age of 40, you know, 41. And I think that's what's important.
Yeah, it's
so Cassia, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you for having me. Thanks.